Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter, broker here at Daniels Trading, and soon to be, or actually already with, the StoneX Group. We work with hedgers and speculators, online traded, broker assisted, managed products, anything from futures and options, and now OTC and physical. If you're a client that like any of the ideas that we're talking about, please feel free to reach out to me. If you're not a client interested in what it's like to work with us, you can give us a call. Number here is 312-706-7610. And all my contact information is in the show notes. You can also go to turnerstake.com, check out the newsletter, or you can text 33777, 33777 with the message Turner and check out the newsletter that way too. As for the podcast, I appreciate you listening. If you haven't done so already, please go to iTunes and give us a review. And if you think anyone else would like it, feel free to forward this podcast along. All right, so last Friday we did our 2021 soybeans. I'm going to do a little bit of an update on that. And then we're going to get into 2021 on the corn. For the soybeans, the only update I want to say, and I'm going to reinforce this at the end, is after going through all the different scenarios with beans and how we have to buy acres, which is true, not only is soybeans, not only can the old crop soybeans run, but new crop soybeans at, in the 970s or 980s is probably too cheap based on our tables from Friday. And soybeans probably has to be 1040, 1050 in November 21 to really start pulling out those acres. I was thinking maybe a 2.5 price ratio to soybeans to corn, but I was reading a little bit more research since Friday. Some other people made a good case it should be around 2.6 in years past when soybeans really had to gain a lot of acres, whether it be from corn or pulling it out of that aren't in production or from other crops. So I'm going to get more into that, but first we're going to corn, and then at the end we'll follow up with the corn-soybean relationship. So, not going to do a whole lot on the macro markets right now, just because the election's in 2 weeks. They're talking about stimulus. It's the last 2 weeks before a presidential election just seems kind of funny business on polls and what should happen if whoever wins, and no one pays attention to anything else. So we're just going to leave the macro markets alone for the next 2 weeks. See how that goes. All right. Corn. In my estimation, I think even with corn over $4, it's hard to see an expansion of corn acres when soybeans are going to be north of 10 and November has to go higher and winter wheat is above 6. Now, we were supposed to plant 92 million acres. I think we're down to 91 million acres for this year. And what I'm going to do is in the show notes and in my newsletter, Turner's Take newsletter, I'll post these tables just like I did with the soybeans. So if we look at the old crop table, if you go ahead and take a look at Turner's Take newsletter, if you listen to the podcast, you can go to the blog or look on, if you have it on your phone there, if you go to the show notes, the table should be in there. We have an ending carryout of about 2 billion. It looks like. All right. So that's good. Or we should have a carryout of around 2 billion. What I think is also going to happen here is the acres and yield for this year, for this new crop, we're going to have 91 million acres, about a 178.5 yield. That yield could go up, that yield could go down. But regardless, we have strong support. Strong exports, we're probably around 2 billion also in ending stocks. And again, that can change a little bit And the more, let's say, China buys corn, the more the exports will go up. But for right now, we're thinking old crop 2 billion, this new crop marketing year right now, we're at a 2 billion ending stock. That's about a 14 to 15% stock to usage. And that doesn't suggest $4 corn, even though we're there, right? We are at $4 corn. So what's going on? South America seems to be out, or Brazil seems to be out of corn. Ukraine is projected to be running lower. They typically sell out. So does South America. The United States is usually the nation of like last resort, where we're the residual holder of corn, kind of like how we are with wheat too. And corn in China is, it may already be up to $10, and it doesn't seem like China's really going to step in the way of that. They're about 80% done with their harvest. They don't want food inflation. They're going to probably continue to buy corn or allow private companies in China to import corn. Now, you may say there is corn in Argentina. There is, but we do also have 35% inflation in Argentina, and it's hard to see them parting ways with that corn unless, we're 450, $5. You got to remember in Argentina, whether it be wheat, corn, or soybeans, if you're a farmer there, you're probably your grain that you store is probably your best source of value in any kind of asset. So they tip. So right now, and there's that's not going to change. That's definitely not going to change this year. Nothing's changing in Argentina in terms of their government economic policies and inflation. So that we can't rely on Argentina to be an exporter. So what that happens then is the United States is going to be the exporter of last resort now for corn until South America has grain, and that's not going to happen for at least a few months. It's also dry in Argentina and southern Brazil. We are going to get rains. That's absolutely true. A lot of South America is going to get 1 to 3 inches. There are parts in the eastern part of Brazil that could get up to like 10 inches, and that'll be great for that region, but there's a lot of places that might only get 1 to 3 inches, and that's good, but it's not enough for a season, and it will get them through planting, but we're still looking at some dry and hot conditions in South America for basically a La Nina year. Not to mention, we're dry in the Midwest here, right? I mean, and while we will get precipitation and snow throughout the winter, are we going to blanket the whole entire Midwest? That remains to be seen. In years past, the soils and subsoil has just been supercharged heading into planting, and that is probably not going to be the case this year. So if there are weather issues in the spring and summer for this U.S. crop, it's going to be drawing down on moisture fast, much faster. So there's much less room for error. There's less room for error in South America. There's much less room for error in basically in planting for the United States, and then also the growing season. Also, cash prices are strong. The basis is strong out there for corn. It is not trading cash wise or futures wise or spreads like a 2 billion carryout with a 15% stock to usage. If it were, corn should be much lower here. 30, 40 cents lower from where we are, and that's not happening. So I don't like, I always say you got to treat the USDA as gospel, but every once in a while you kind of got to question, was the crop smaller than we thought a year or two ago? Is there less grain on hand? I mean, I know farmers hold corn, but this is starting to get interesting. The basis is this high, and not most people I talk to don't have a ton of corn left. So that's going to be interesting to see how the USDA accounts for that and the balance sheet. Now, knowing that, one of the rules here, and this is not me speaking, this is actually many farmers will be happily telling me this, is that farmers like to plant corn, which I agree. They've definitely proven that over and over again. And if you're a farmer out there listening to this, I'm sure you'd agree with me too. If you have ground that can produce corn, and that works for you locally in your market, you're going to want to plant it, a lot of it. And we were supposed to plant 92 million acres. I think it ended up being 91 million. I mean, originally it was going to be 97 million. Here's the thing. 91 million acres. Corn's $4 across the board, I think. It's definitely for the old crop. And new crop has just got, I think new crop 21 just got to $4 today. Here's the thing. If corn is $4 across the board, are we going to see an expansion of corn acres? From a balance sheet perspective, using a 180 yield and a 2 billion carry in, and this is for next year for what we're planting in the spring, and you use some pretty reasonable export and ethanol numbers, we're at about an ending stocks of over 2 billion if we go 91 million. You know, we planted 91 million this year. If we plant 91 million next year, we're going to be over 2 billion carry out. And maybe we do plant 91 or 92 million. But if that's the case, then soybeans are going to be sub 90. I think Informa put out an estimate that corn would be 92 million. If corn is 92 million, then we're at a 2.3 billion carryout. And that's burdensome for the corn market. That's like harvest lows if the carryout is right, around 360 or 350 or something like that. And an 89 million planted for soybeans with a carry-in of about, I have about 250 million, that puts ending stocks at 200 million next year with a 50 and a half yield. So I find it very hard to believe that Dees 21 corn and Nove 21 corn are going to stay at $4 and 980 respectively to allow 92 million acres of corn have an over 2 billion carryout projected, and then 89 million acres soybeans that have a 200 million projected. And that's hopefully with a big South American crop. So it just doesn't make sense on paper. Are people trading this now? No. Will it eventually become a story? Absolutely. And when it does, we're going to really see November 21 rally. I think November 21 has to go to, not, I don't know, 1040, 1050, 1060 to get those acres up. We're hearing more about double crop on the wheat and the soybeans. We'll get into that next week when we talk about wheat more. Soybeans was last week. Corn is this week. Wheat will be next week. So let's talk. I'm going to bring it all back in again into the corn market here. I always want to get off into corn or soybeans because they are all related. But sticking with corn, if we have a 92 million acres, ending stocks are projected about 2.3 billion. I just don't see that happen. I think it's much more likely that we have about a 90 million acres for corn. We have about a 180 yield. We have ending stocks projected about 1.9, 1.8 billion. And then we do see some strong acres and a push to plant wheat and soybeans and wheat double crop beans. All right. I think that's really where it is. So in terms of the outlook, corn in the old crop looks like we can rally. And if we have South American weather issues and wheat's 630, 640, 650, and soybeans, let's say soybeans made new highs today, they get into the 11s. It can drag corn higher, and it can certainly drag the old crop higher, you know, December or March. I mean, we can start going into the 420s, 430s, 440s. Hard to see Dees 21 break above 420 anytime soon unless things get just unbelievable. Because if you remember, what was it? Not this past summer, but the last summer when corn got to 450, 460, 470 because of all the late planting. Dees never broke, I don't think. If it did, it was short. It did not live above 420 for long. So my rule of thumb for marketing is when Dees 21 corn or the next year's crop gets to $4 and you have anything sold, nothing wrong with pulling the trigger in 5 or 10%. All right, that's from the hedger and farmer side. Whether you're doing the futures market, whether you're doing the cash market, there's nothing wrong with that sale. That sale is almost, except for maybe 2012, you know, or 13, that was a good sale, right? That's probably a pretty good sale. I would say for right now, if you don't want to do that, or you do, you know, or if you do and you want to pick up like the other five, you do 5% at 4, you want to do another 5%, 420. If you look at the charts and where we've been on short years, we've had big rallies, 420 in Dees corn is another good, you know, place. So if you're looking for marketing advice, That's where it start off with these 21, $4, 420. That's proven to be some pretty good ways to start off. If I'm a speculator, I think I like being long the old crop corn better than new crop right now. Old crop is going to have more of a story. I was putting out in Turner's Take, buying call spreads and selling a put. If the way the cash market is lining up, the way we're probably going to have issues with South America, even if they do get rain here, it's still a long season in a La Nina year where we have to have a big crop out of South America. Argentina is going to, and Southern Brazil in La Nina years usually have a rough go of it. And while Central and Northern Brazil can benefit sometimes from La Nina weather, it's usually the better results in Central and Northern Brazil are good, but not good enough to make up, let's say, some of the potential losses in Southern Brazil and Argentina. Historically, that's been the way it is. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if I had a bet on it, I'd say that's how it would go again, just using past weather performance. So knowing that, and the shortage that I think we're seeing in China, I mean, it's like 10 bucks a bushel over there, going to continue to see strong demand for corn. Most likely, I'm looking for these corn to go to 420, and then when we're through that, I'm looking for us to go to 450. If things continue, a couple things have to happen. Demand has to continue, which it is. I think it will continue. Brazil just reduced all import taxes, and we're actually seeing a trend now with other nations getting rid of grain import tax, especially if they're producers, to allow grains to flow in freely because they are worried about food inflation and also running low on stocks. So it's very interesting situation out there on the demand side. Would love to see a break. If we can get some kind of rains in South America, just enough so farmers can plant, in theory, that would cause some profit taking. And maybe that's your time to buy. Maybe that's the time to buy into this. And I have no problem. You know, I was talking about selling puts, in the 370, 380 area. This is not an exact trade rec. I do put them out in Turner's Take. I do give them out to clients. If you want to talk to me, happy to do that. And then buying calls or call spreads up top. I like that. I think that's, I'm fairly confident that between now and July, the market, while it could be sideways, we could give back some, I don't think it's going to collapse. And then in terms of new crop, again, it's going to be tough for Dees 21 to get much above 420 without some kind of really bad event in South America, because soybeans is going to have to compete for corn acres here. And especially when you look at this balance sheet, I'm going to have 90 million acres on the balance sheet with a 180 yield, and we're at a 2 billion ending stock. It's just, it's going to be tough to be over 420 when we're looking at on paper, 2 billion this year and 2 billion next year for a stock. So for the meantime, I can understand being long corn outright. I think that you can get some nice sales if you're a hedger or a producer on these rallies. There most likely will be a pullback. And let's just go real quick. I'm going to go into the corn and soybeans relationship. I've been talking about buying soybeans and selling corn, which has been doing okay in the old crop. It's been up and down. I think the real value is in the new crop. After going through these tables again, my stance is the same. I like soybeans more than corn. Soybeans have a better story. If you take a look in the contracts and the value, you know, just from a value perspective, maybe being long January beans and short Dees corn isn't the way right now. I mean, I think I'll do fine, but maybe the real value on paper is Dees 21 corn versus Nov 21 soybeans. When you take a look at that soybean table that I put out on Friday, and we need to add on 6 or 7 million acres, I don't know if 980 is doing it in Nov 21. And by the way, let me get my calculator out. 980 divided by 4, which is where about these 21 futures are, is about 2.45 ratio. it probably has to be closer to 2.6 or 2.7 to really gain acres. Or if corn acres stay the same, then for all the new acres coming to production to go to soybeans. So 4 times, let's say 2.7 is 1080. 4 times 2.65 is 1060. 4 times 2.6 is 1040. So there you have it. 2.6 to 2.7 corn soybean to corn ratio to make sure those new acres come into beans and not corn with $4 DEES 21 corn puts Nove beans at 1040 to 1080. I'm going to be a little conservative and say 1040 to 1060. But if you want to know, Craig, what's your most bullish projection, I would guess DEES corn 420 times 2.7. Oof. Okay, that seems unrealistic, but that puts Nove 21 at 1135. So I don't think that's going to happen. But how about 420 DEES 21 corn times 2.6? 1090. Okay, so somewhere in the mid-10s, mid to high 10s, most likely, November 21. If I'm right, I think, you know, probably we'll have around the same amount of corn acres next year. 91, 90, 92. And we planted a lot less, and there's more in prevent plant. So we've got to bring a lot of acres out of production. And to bring those acres out of production, soybeans have to go higher. And I think soybeans need to go. And I think those acres need to go to soybeans, and we get... And we'll probably have to be at 1040, I think. Otherwise, those acres are going to go to corn, right? I mean, if corn's $4 across the board and we're pulling in extra acres, those are corn acres. So Nove 21 has to go up. That's my theory. So I do like that. I do like that spread. I know I called this the 2021 corn outlook, but here we are back at beans again. And it really is because beans are the story. Beans have just the most potential out of all of them. And I'll say it at once. I say this all the time. I said this last week. You know, the thing with beans is every 6 months we got to produce four to 4.5 billion beans in the United States, and then another, I don't know, 5 to 6 billion soybeans in South America. And if we don't, we have the potential to have a major soybean exporter supply crisis. Right? I mean, it can be a real issue there. So. Every 6 months we have potential for a single point of failure in the global soybean export market. And, you know, when you have 900 million stocks in soybeans, you can afford to, there's a lot of room for error there, right? But when you're in the 200s, there's not. So not only do we have a La Nina year with South America, we've got to now increase soybean acres from 83 million to basically 90 million. So, it will be beneficial for corn. Corn is probably more of a, for the moment, old crop 450 tops, new crop 420 tops. And again, a lot of things have to go right. We have to see continued demand, South America weather issues. We have pullbacks before then, but I'm going to guess we're going to get some kind of summer weather rally. We haven't even planted yet in South America. It's been delayed. I don't think this is the last weather rally we'll see because of South America. Out as we're still trying to get planting underway, but that's what we're looking at the moment. If we do get summer weather rallies in South America and things are real bad, I wouldn't put $455 out of the question. Is it likely? I don't know. Is it a possibility? It definitely is, more so than last year. And I'll say something else too, not this summer but last summer, when corn almost forgot. Here's something important. Corn, when we had the late planting in the United States, corn could not get past 450, or if it could, is very short time. Why? Southeast United States was able to because the basis is so high out there, was able to import corn from South America, right? Because if corn was 450 in the futures, if they're like, let's say 50 over in like North Carolina or wherever those, you know, you got all that feed operations over there for poultry and hogs. And so if they're able to import it from Brazil or Argentina, they did. And that's because back then Argentina and Brazil, if you remember me talking about this, had 300, 400, maybe 500 million extra bushels in their ending stocks to get out, right? That is not the case right now. I mean, right this second, there's a reason why people are taking off the, are reducing their import, their local import tariffs to zero, right? Because they're worried about running out. So there's not a huge, and then to get that huge supply built back up, you were going to have a really good crop out of South America in a La Nina year, and we're not off to a good start. So let's just say South America makes enough where they can meet all demand, but don't have extra like they did 2 years ago, where they had the 400 or 500 million extra bushels to export to keep our corn at bay at 450. If they don't have that and we have issues this summer, let's say we only produce 90, let's say we plant 91, 92 million acres. We don't have a 180 yield. What if it's a 175 yield? You know what? And let's face it, it's dry out there. I know things can change, but it's dry out there and we don't have these supercharged soils yet like we did last year. What if things are, you know, dry and we have a little bit of a subpar yield in the spring? Well, that, if we have a 175 yield, you know, all of a sudden we're below 1.5 billion carryout. Stocks are 10% stock to usage, plus beans. In that case, beans would be high. Wheat would be high, right? Very high, really. The rest of the world would be out. And that's how you get extreme price rationing. There's two types of price rationing in these markets. There's the price rationing at the domestic level, and then there's the price rationing at the international level. All right. And I'm going to end on this topic, and then next week we can go to wheat. But this is very important. If any country can have price rationing on the domestic level, and then those prices stop rising when it makes financial sense to import from a country that has it, right? Because there's cost involved with that, not just the currency, but the actual shipping, right? So China, for example, corn's 10 bucks. It's expensive for them to import corn from the United States, right? And South America, it's not cheap. It's not prohibitive, but it's not cheap. For them to do that, corn has to get to a certain point, and then they have to import it. And if we have the corn, they'll definitely do it, right? So what will same with South America, same with the United States. So back in 2 years ago, 2 summers ago, we got to 450, South America had it, we topped out. Same thing happened with spring wheat a couple years ago. Spring wheat got to like $8. We thought it was going to go to 10 because the ending stock suggested that. But for that Minneapolis spring wheat, Europe had enough at that $8 point. It made sense to import European wheat into the United States. That was and if you remember, that was like 2 or 3 years ago for anyone who was trading the Minneapolis wheat back then. In 2012, that area, you know, the 11, 12, 13 period, it wasn't just that the United States had a drought. It was that we had a couple of bad cycles in a row. And not only did the United States not have grain for export, no one else in the world had grain for export. And that's how you got to corn to $8 and soybeans to 15, 16, 17, because we were all out. The whole entire world was out. Or when wheat went to 20, remember that? That was like, 2008 when spring wheat, some people who listen to this podcast, they're not going to believe me, but you know, spring wheat did go that high. And again, we had issues in Australia multiple years and short crops around the world. And that's high protein wheat. So these things can happen. And, you know, if art is south, we're looks like we're getting tight now and we're going to have La Nina. And if things get tight, you know, or not great production in South America, we can go above that 450 level in corn, and we can go above that $11 or $12 level in soybeans, because the major exporting nations don't have the buffer like they did. Not this past summer, but the summer before. So something to keep in mind. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast this week. Thanks for listening. Next week will be wheat, and then we'll tie it all together, the corn, the soybeans, and the wheat. We see a lot of potential, a lot of possibilities for traders, speculative, and producers on the hedge side too. So If you like this podcast, you're a client, you want to get more involved or follow up on your positions, give me a call. Let's talk. If you'd like to know what it'd be like to work with us, you give me a call. Also, all my contact information is in the show notes. And for even if you're a client, you need to put it in my cell, let me know. I'll get it in there. And again, my office number is 312-706-7610. Have a great week, everyone, and I will talk to you later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.